Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Saturday morning, St. Louis. Hey, you are here. You have tuned into the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here, sitting in the big chair on KMOX for you guys today. And, you know, whether you're a dedicated DIYer, maybe you're planning a remodel or just trying to keep up with the never-ending list of things that come with owning a home, you have found yourself in the right place. You know, they say a home is never finished, and I think that's extremely true. So for the next couple of hours, we're going to be talking about home maintenance repairs, remodeling, and some smart ways to improve your home, from the little fixes that make everyday life easier to the major projects that can completely transform your space. The phone number you need, the lines are wide open, 314-436-7900. Will find me, and again, that's 314-436-7900. And so if you've got a question about your home, give me a call, and let's talk through it together. Maybe you've got a repair that you've been putting off. Maybe you're trying to figure out where to start on a remodel. Or maybe you just want to avoid making an expensive mistake. If you have something done and you're just looking for another opinion on, is it correct? What might be not correct? What happened during it? That is what this show is all about. Practical advice, some real world experience, and helping homeowners make informed decisions about their home. So grab your favorite drink, settle in. Let's spend the morning talking about the place that matters most to you, your home. This is the Home Improvement Show right here. And again, and we're ready to take calls, and the phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. And I know there's a lot going on this weekend because, well, tomorrow is Mother's Day, and I'm sure the Home and Garden line this morning really probably had a busy morning with all of the plants and flowers and all the things you do for Mother's Day. And, of course, our April showers, they are going to bring those May flowers, just like they say. So, yeah, I know everybody's trying to get ready, probably going to be having some celebrations and festivities tomorrow and trying to get everything ready. So again, anything you need and maybe helping out for Mother's Day tomorrow, 314-436-7900. We got Larry on the line. Let's jump to the phone and see what's going on with Larry. Hi, Larry. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Rick, love your show. I have a question. I had a hailstorm damage last couple weeks. The inspector was here Friday. The adjuster is coming Thursday. I've never filed a home insurance claim. What questions should I be sure to ask when the adjuster shows up Thursday?
Well, I mean, that's a tough one because they're primarily just doing their inspection to be able to, you know, give the report that shows everywhere that you have hail damage and what needs to be repaired or replaced. So I would definitely recommend, you know, hanging out with him if you can. I'm sure if he gets on the roof, maybe don't get on the roof. I did with mine, but this is what I do. So I was, you know, basically up there making sure. And I mean, the really big thing is just trying to make sure that they have everything in it. And sometimes that can be difficult. And you may need to actually ask for other people's advice versus what the adjuster put together and what the adjuster is saying needs to be done, just to kind of double check them. So I don't know that there's a whole lot that you can ask them. It's mainly take a look around yourself. If you see anything that looks different, that looks damaged, that looks out of place, and you're going around with them, you can ask them about like what you're seeing, because you have to determine if it is hail damage. And I've seen them do reports where sometimes there are dents and dings and things that happen that end up not actually being hail damage that you might think it is. And so hopefully your insurance company and your insurance adjuster is just going to kind of be fair, do the right thing, look and check everything, and just make sure they're taking a really good look as they look at everything. One of the things that they'll do a lot, especially on windows and doors and certain places around the walls of the home, a lot of those inspectors and adjusters will take a flashlight and kind of shine down or shine across like the piece of trim to kind of really illuminate any kind of damage, dent, anything like that. So it's, to me, my advice would be more just try and make sure that you feel like they're being very thorough, and then maybe double check them with whoever comes out to look at performing the work and say, hey, do you mind double checking things? And do you see anything that they missed? Is there anything more that maybe they didn't put in here?
A roofing contractor came by and did the inspection and took pictures and circled places on the roof that he thought looked suspicious and showed me the pictures, and they don't look very good.
Yeah.
And I talked to my agent, and he said, I have a total roof replacement amendment to my policy. But my question was, I guess, if they come back and they say, well, we're going to give you grade A shingles or grade B shingles or grade C, how do I know if I should get what I have now or step up a step and get maybe a composite, or is composite better than asphalt?
So, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of composite, there's metal, there's different types of roofing now. And your insurance company will pay for a similar replacement. So they're going to pay for a normal average asphalt shingle. And so your ability to step up is going to be with the roofing contractor that's going to put the roof on. Okay. And they might advise, you know, either going a little bit better with the asphalt, because you can get better asphalt shingles that are actually, they'll resist more hail, bigger hail than the average asphalt shingles. So there's steps up in that they could recommend. And sometimes you can talk to your insurance company too about, if you step up to an impact resistant asphalt, does that give you any type of discount on your actual homeowner's policy? So that might be a good question and a good step up into your next roof. So they'll basically say, here's this amount, this pays for the similar roof. And then the roofer will probably talk to you about a better synthetic felt paper, maybe a little bit better asphalt shingle, and they can tell you what that adds to the price that your insurance company won't cover to get that, but it might still be a good thing for you. But any of the metal, any of the composite shingles, they are wildly more expensive than the asphalt shingles. They will not even be in comparison in the same realm. They're usually at least double the price.
So I may not even have that option, huh?
So, well, the option would be with the roofer that's installing a new roof, and you pay the difference.
Okay.
So if they give you $20,000 and they said, well, we, you know, that'll cover this roof, we can step it up to this asphalt shingle for $5,000 more, and then maybe you get a little discount on your homeowner's insurance, or we can go to a composite type shingle that looks like this type, and those could be $40,000-$50,000, like double the price. That would all be out of your pocket to get to an option like that.
I should work that out with the adjuster and not the local agent.
Well, the adjuster, all they're going to do is figure out how damaged it is, where it's damaged, and the size of it, and they'll put together like an estimate that says this is what it should cost to replace this roof with a similar shingle and similar felt paper in a similar way. And then you kind of pick with the roofer, how do you want them to do it with your new roof? And if there's a difference, then you end up paying that difference.
Okay.
Yeah, the difference will be out of pocket.
Okay, good things to know. Thanks so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Good question, Larry. And definitely a concern, as we had all those hailstorms here not too long ago, a week ago, something like that. And I was definitely during all those storms, as all that was happening for a couple days, just praying that don't give St. Louis another tornado. We just can't. I just don't think we can fathom and handle that with all that damage. And I was actually just talking to a roofer that I've done a lot of work with over the years, that they do slate, clay tile, they do cedar shake, and I was talking to them about a cedar shake roof, and basically they can't put the roof on. He basically said, just as much work is out there and everything that's happening, he's almost 3 years out getting to a roof. And he's like, so if you have a cedar shake roof you want to work on, he just can't do it. You're going to find somebody else because it's going to be 3 years away. But, hey, we're going to jump into our first break here. We got the phone lines lighting up. We've got a lot going on. We got plenty of home improvement for you. So don't touch that dial, and we will get more home improvement, some more conversations, some more questions right after this. Welcome back. Welcome back, Home Improvement Show. Rich Joris here to have a conversation with you, see if we could help you out, see what's going on at your home. Don't forget, phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. And for the last call for Larry, just checking back real quick, I guess the thing I didn't mention is, make sure that they're looking at everything and they're inspecting everything. And so, you know, they want to look at doors, windows, siding, go around the whole house. If they don't mention gutters, ask about the gutters, because generally if you have enough hail damage to a roof, enough of it got in the gutters and dented up the gutters, and they'll do your gutters at the same time. So that's pretty typical. So really just make sure they're checking, looking, everything. And then again, what I kind of followed up with is, once you get somebody out to do those tasks, ask them and make sure that they don't see anything outside of what the insurance company said was wrong, because you can go back if more is found. And if it's truly hail damage, you can collect on it and get other things fixed if the inspectors or the adjusters miss anything. So you can do that, but just, it's really the attempt of just trying to make sure everybody's being thorough as they can be. So, but hey, we got Jerry on the line. Let's jump to the phones and see how we can help Jerry. Are you there?
Morning.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good. This goes back to our last spring storm with hail damage.
Uh-huh.
And got my roof replaced and a few other things, but my vinyl siding, they're telling me they cannot match it up because of the age of it. And their insurance company wants to come and put different siding up and painting. Does that make any sense, to paint vinyl siding?
It's
not maintenance-free anymore after that.
Yeah, I mean, if it were mine, I would argue that. It can be done. But it does, it takes the low maintenance right out of it. Vinyl siding, nothing's maintenance free, but vinyl siding is the lowest maintenance out of all the sidings that you can put on your house. And so you may have a little bit of a battle on your hands with them, to try and fight that. And I would say, absolutely not. My house was not painted, and I don't want it painted now. How do you fix my house correctly?
And I bought a maintenance-free house, and that's what I want it to be.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean,
I wonder if you'd ever heard of that even.
I have, and I've seen houses that people painted vinyl siding, and it's not a long-lasting product. It's not the best thing to do. It will not last. It's not like putting it on a piece of wood, or you know. So it I would have a hard time believing a paint job on vinyl siding would even last like 10 years.
Even my realtor even said it's going to affect the resale value.
Yeah, because vinyl siding, it's vinyl. It heats up. It expands and contracts. It moves. And you just don't want the product behind the paint doing that.
Right.
It's very hard to make the paint stick and stay. And I'm sure there's a special cleaning and special priming, because when vinyl siding gets old, it'll also chalk up. And so trying to paint over that, if there's anything old they're trying to paint,
sure,
it's not a great idea. I would not recommend it.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I would fight them to have the house sited.
Right.
Yeah. And that can end up being a battle for you. I mean, we hear about all these insurance company battles now that, man, California is about ready to kick State Farm out of there.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to battle Safeco.
Yeah, and so, I mean, so much has been happening all across the country. I know that I do feel for some of these insurance companies, because they are starting to get hit with more and more and more, and it's getting much worse for them. But then again, you also look at their profits, and then you start to lean the other way and think, well, now wait a minute. You know,
them for 40 years, so they should have saved some of that money.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm with you, and I would totally fight them on it and say, you know, my point is, they're supposed to replace like products.
Right.
And you have a product that is not a field finish paint. So there's no reason to go to one now to save them money. And you may, I mean, I wouldn't doubt if you may end up needing an attorney.
Right. And possibly. That's fine. I'm ready to battle.
Yeah. But if you can, you know, if you ever look at what a siding job costs, even if you spent $5,000 or $10,000 on an attorney and you ended up getting it all replaced, that's not a lot of money in comparison to I had to side my whole house.
Right.
To keep the value. Yeah.
That is true.
Oh, yep.
Well, I appreciate your opinion.
All righty. No problem. Great question. I hate that you're even in a situation like that. I hate that anybody gets in a situation like that. And I do understand, and sometimes the insurance companies can figure things out that are good, that are legit, that do match, that do work and do the job, and that's what they're trying to do often enough. And so, because sometimes if there's, like, I had a house where the siding, it was discontinued, the company stopped making that siding. And someone else, another company, had bought that actual manufacturing plant and everything, and they started making the exact same siding in the exact same color, just under a different name, and the color name was a little bit different. And they were able to figure that out and find the siding that matched my house. And then when I put it on, it did match the house. And I was like, oh, I was kind of hoping for an entire new siding job also, just to be able to get everything off and get the house protected, wrapped, and flashed, and then get new siding put back on. Now, the insurance company would not have paid me for the wrapping and the flashing and the different things that I wanted to make sure I had underneath. Now, if anything were to happen again and any of that work that I did was damaged, that's a like for like. They should pay for that wrapping and flashing and protections and all the things that anything that got damaged. They just won't pay for something that isn't there or that's different. And that, of course, makes perfect sense. So I don't want to stick up for the insurance companies. I don't want to also just totally bash all of them down. I've had pretty good luck with American Family for a lot of years. So I'm just kind of keeping stride with them and not complaining and just going through it so that I don't want to switch and I don't want to change to someone I might not have as much luck with, but it's definitely a hit or miss on how good you're covered and how well they treat you and how big the battle is that you have to fight with insurance companies. I had others in the past that we did have to fight with them. Years back, in North County, I had a metal shed that totally got destroyed by hail, and the insurance company I had at that point came back and said, okay, yeah, here, that metal shed at Lowe's is $400. Here's $400. And I was like, I had to fight with them. And I said, well, does it magically float to my house and install itself? Because I feel like this one's already in my backyard and was standing and my stuff was in it. And so I had to argue with them to get more money to actually, like, maybe there's a delivery fee. Someone has to put this thing together and install it. And so then once you go through all that, kind of like talking with Larry, you can choose your upgrades. So what I did, instead of buying the metal shed, I built myself a little bit bigger, a little bit better shed out of a wood shed, roof shingled it myself. I can do all that. So I ended up with an even better shed from what I got. And then now they're obligated to, you know, I have to explain to them what's there, and then they're obligated to cover that like for what it is. So I wish everybody luck out there, and I hope it goes well for you when you're dealing with these insurance companies. It is not a good time. So let's jump into our middle hour break here, but don't fret, don't fear. We'll have plenty of time. We've got a full 2-hour show today, so we've got another hour and a half to come of home improvement for you. Don't forget the number 314-436-7900. Don't touch that dial.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Hopefully the hail is gone, right? Hey, you're here. Home Improvement Show, KMOX. Rich Orris here for you to help out. How do you find me? Well, dial on your phone, 314-436-7900. Jump in. Let's talk about Mother's Day. Let's talk about what you're doing to get prepared. Let's talk about anything you got going on about and around your house, and we can see what we can do to help you out. Again, 314-436-7900. And as a lot of you probably have heard, during the week, what I do, I go around and I work for a company called Mosby Building Arts, the sponsor of the show. And of course, the owner, Scott Mosby, being the last host of this home improvement show. So I get to go around and meet people and look at their house, and I look at remodeling and kitchens and bathrooms, and I look at issues, the leaks, all the items that we talk about here on the radio. We talk about, we recommend things that can help for fixing and what we can do. And sometimes I'm even recommending other people, other companies that we use, if it's just something kind of outside of the realm that doesn't really need our help. But there's a lot that we kind of, you know, I get to see, get to go through. And so during the month of May at Mosby Building Arts, if you are thinking about having some work done on your house, we actually have a couple of freebies that we are giving away with projects in the month of May. And basically, it's until the end of the month. The deal is you have to call in and get your appointment set during the month of May to qualify. But so the first thing we're giving away is with window purchases. If you purchase windows for your home, you can get a free garage door or up to 5% off your window project. And kitchens. Now, what's better for Mother's Day than let's look at a kitchen and let's get a kitchen started for your mother. How great would that be? I know everyone out there is going to want that. And for kitchens, we have free backsplash installed with your kitchen or up to 5% off of your kitchen. So you can go to callmosby.com, C-A-L-L-M-O-S-B-Y, and you can see that. It'll be one of the first things that pops up. You can look at all the details and what it takes to qualify and everything, and you can either give us a call or you can even set your appointment to have us come out right there on our website if you like. The phone number to call is 314-909-1800. And again, get all the details, check it out, go to callmosby.com and check out the website and see what's going on with that. And when you think about a kitchen, boy, there's a lot of pain points that can come along with a kitchen and why someone may need or want an upgrade to their kitchen. When you get into things that no longer work the way that the family works, they design kitchens in a certain way and maybe you perform things differently. So if you go through a company like Mosby Building Arts, like what I'm doing, and we can actually design, reconfigure. The really cool thing is being able to see, imagine being able to see three different kitchens. Your kitchen can be redone three different ways, and here's what all three kitchens would cost to, you know, what the investment is to get that entire kitchen taken care of on all three. And here's the reasons that why we did certain things and how we think it would help you. Imagine someone working on your goals for the kitchen. Like how do you use it? How do you want to use it? What are those pain points? And a lot of those that we end up trying to work through, I would say probably about the number one pain point in any kitchen is not enough counter space for cooking, for entertaining, and just for everyday prepping. Another pain point we see all of the time in kitchens is a poor layout. Just kind of makes the kitchen awkward, feel crowded. It's not easy to go from one spot to the other to perform work and get things done and cooked and ready to go. And then, of course, probably hitting up in the top three, I would say the third one is just the storage, not enough storage, limited storage, unorganized storage, just being cluttered, cabinets being cluttered the way most of our kitchens are, and how to try and organize them. So like in my kitchen, it's a typical kitchen, and the cabinets are, you open the door and the uppers have some shelves and the lowers have like one little skinny shelf kind of high up in the back, and it's, you just cram all your stuff in there and it's all disorganized and cluttered. And so in my kitchen where we keep our pots and pans, I took some wood and I took some little blocks of wood with some wood strips, and I screwed this on kind of like a almost like a towel bar looking kind of situation on the back of the two doors to that cabinet. And I can slide all of the lids to the pots and pans, kind of on these little bars, these little wooden strips with some space behind it. So I've got five or six different pots and pan lids on the door, because it was impossible before that to find the right lid for the right pot. It was just so unorganized and so confusing, and not enough space to keep them all together with each other. And you don't always use the lid, so it's nice to have it somewhere. So think about how cool it would be to be able to design your kitchen in a way that you know you've got all this organizing stuff that comes with it. This is going to pull out. It's going to hold this. This is where my spices would be. I know where my pots and my pans and my lids and how I can organize that would be. And you can get into this design deep enough to know everything about it. And then you can start looking at, okay, here's all our small appliances. We've got the KitchenAid mixer, we've got the blender, we've got the toaster, we've got that. Well, where do you store that? Do you have enough storage for all of it? I have actually built storage, kind of big pantries in garages, in basements, in other areas of the house for the kitchen, so that all those items can be stored when the kitchen just doesn't have enough space. So you definitely, there's so many features in a kitchen, and we can walk you through that whole thing and show you all of the differences and how they can work for you and why we would do it a certain way. And you can see different price points, and then you get to pick and choose through that and find the kitchen that not only might work for you the best, or maybe you sacrifice some of that stuff in getting to a more comfortable price point, but at least then you're educated and you've learned and you know what you can do, what you can't do, and what things are gonna cost for the improvement all the way through that whole process. So it's definitely something that a lot of our clients absolutely love going through that design process and the architectural process of the kitchen as well, to get to the bottom line of what everything is. And we do a whole lot of it. So, but hey, we're going to get into our final break of this hour. So we will come back here in just a minute. Don't forget, we'll have one more segment and then another entire hour for everybody. So give me a call. Let's see what's happening in your house. 314-436-7900 finds me right here, and we will be back with more topics, more phone calls, more questions and answers right after this. Rich Orris here, your source for all things remodeling. Well, like myself and Mosby, let B&W Concrete be your source for all things concrete. Get your concrete services installed the right way, the best way. You can call B&W at 636-458-3626, or you can check them out online at bwconcrete.com. But let me tell you, I've been using them for years, and there will be no shortcuts, which means no issues down the road. You'll have peace of mind that everything is done well, from the rock base all the way up through the sealer. They are local, family-owned. They've been in business for like 50 years plus. And they do everything. They do poured concrete foundations. They do retaining walls, decorative walls, flat work, standard, custom, decorative concrete. They do new construction and tear out replacement. They can do it all. So, like we use them at Mosby, let them be your concrete go-to source. Again, you can find them at bwconcrete.com or just give them a call, 636-458-3626. All right, guys, we are back here. Plenty more home improvement to come for you. Anything you need, don't forget to call 314-436-7900. We'll figure it out. We'll talk through it. We're about to have a whole nother hour coming up right after this. But I did want to get back into a little bit of some of the insurance and the hail and the protect yourself kind of questions. We had a couple about that, and really not just with the insurance company and the adjusters, the inspectors, but also with who does this work for you. think about who does the repair work. I've been doing this like 35 plus years here, and I have just about seen it all. And I can tell you stories with insurance, with trying to get the work done, with who performs the work, with the work not performed well. I remember I had a project some years back that it was a bunch of kitchen work. It was a kitchen floor and mounting kitchen cabinets back on a wall and some wallpaper and some painting and all. And it's not that often, but a lot of times you really just see some really poor or shoddy workmanship. And this work, the flooring, there was a cabinet mounted to the wall that there was such a bow in the wall, the cabinet, the bottom of the cabinet and the top of the cabinet was about a good inch off of the wall. And they had repaired the wall and put a cabinet up. And so this company did the work. It looked like the cabinet was ready to just fall off the wall. And so we ended up coming in and basically redoing the entire insurance project. New floor, taking the cabinets down, fixing walls, wallpaper, putting cabinets back up, getting all this work done the right way and better. And the real hard part of it was, and her biggest part of the story to me was basically her insurance company that was paying for all that the first time gave her the name of a company to use and said, oh yeah, these people do work all the time. And that's who she had do the work. And then when she called the insurance companies back and said, look, this is horrible. Like, they're not fixing anything and this is just not right and good. And they looked at it and basically came back and said, well, you know, we fix storm damage and damage from events, acts of God, Mother Nature, that sort of thing. We don't pay to replace shoddy workmanship. You shouldn't have let them do shoddy workmanship. And they had recommended this company. So, I mean, talk about the ultimate letdown. And I'm going to tell you right now, when hail comes, there are roofers and siders and there are companies that are people, I should say, that will storm chase and they will come in the area and they'll get just a regular phone that you can pay by the minute or whatever that has a local number, and they will go around and sell roofs to re-roof, to fix roofs. And you could be purchasing a roof from someone that's from Texas and not even know it. So I would definitely look into who you're having do this work to do your insurance repair work. Make sure they are from around here. Make sure they've been here for years. Find somebody at least halfway reputable that is always in your area, that's hopefully going to be in your area for the next year, 5, 10 years, however long these warranties are. Most roof warranties are about 5 years. At Mosby, we have a 10-year workmanship warranty, but if you're getting someone from out of town with a 1 year and you're getting a roof put on, that could be disastrous for you in the end if it's not well and the insurance company will not pay again for that roof. But hey, we're going to get into our big news break here. We're going to have more home improvement for you in the next hour. So don't forget, 314-436-7900. Welcome back. It's hour two of the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. And we got 97.1 crowd joining us in. So again, for everybody out there, what is going on at your home? What are you working on? Do you have any questions about it? Any thoughts? Any curiosities? 314-436-7900. Get you right in here to me and we can have a conversation about whatever it is that you're trying to do, whether it's maintenance or Mother's Day preparations. There's so much going on this weekend. It is a beautiful day. I'm sure everybody's out getting themselves ready and getting ready for Mother's Day, and you're going to have a lot of plants and flowers and all kinds of Mother's Day activities to do for you tomorrow. So, yeah, there's a lot happening. So don't forget, any advice on about around your house that you need, from the basement to the peak of the roof, give me a call, 314-436-7900. And speaking about giving me a call, hey, we got a special person here. Mark Cox is on the line. He's out at Hot Tubs of St. Louis. Hey, Mark, what's going on out there today?
Hey, man. Rich, how are you, man?
I'm
what
wonderful.
A gorgeous day. What a gorgeous day it is out here. These folks at Hot Tubs of St. Louis decided, you know what? Mother's Day is coming up. We're gonna mark down a bunch of our hot tubs. So they asked us to come out and help them promote that a little bit. So I'm out here live from 11 till 1 o'clock today. They've got great financing deals on these hot tubs. I can't believe some of these things. They've got a walk-in sauna here that like would fit really nicely in somebody's basement or workout area. They've got, of course, hot tubs. They've got those swim spas down here that are incredible. They got 0% financing. Anyway, I would encourage people, just want to let people know that we're down here. You can show up today and get a great deal and get one of these things delivered and surprise your mom with it, or yourself for that matter. And we're at 5030 Griffin Road, by the way, Hot Tubs of St. Louis. It's just off Tesson Ferry, south of 270. So if people are out driving around or they're just hanging out on a Saturday, swing by here, say hello. I'll be here till 1 o'clock, and you can see some of these great hot tub deals they've got going on at Hot Tubs of St. Louis. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes today, Rich. Thank you.
Hey, you are very welcome. And, you know, Mark, I got a client that right now that we're going to work on a room, he's got a swim spa in it. And those things are awesome. So, yeah, get down there and check these things out. Get your mother one for Mother's Day. It's a great thing to have. So, no problem, Mark. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
Yes, sir. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
Yep, you too. All right. And hey, like you said, get down there. Check it out. That is, talk about a way to improve your home with a hot tub. I've got clients that you know, the jetted and the bubble tubs in their master bathroom and really trying to make that spa thing. So, man, a swim spa for health, a hot tub, all that's great things that you can actually do to improve your home. And that's what we're all about here. So, again, if you've got anything going on, you're thinking about anything like that, give me a shout, 314-436-7900. And, yeah, my client that I was just mentioning actually has a swim spa in a room addition, and the way the room was built quite a bit ago, and it's the way that the siding, the flashing, we're talking about that topic all the time, and how the windows are, and so it got some water and it's got some rot in the floor joist, and then they had a problem with like a flood, and it got even worse, and so we're actually coming in and we're gonna kind of rebuild some of this floor, so that they got to take the company's coming to take the swim spa out, and we can replace the floor, fix the subfloor, fix the floor joists. We got beams we're replacing. We're going to add a couple more posts and piers to kind of help support this room and put it all back together, insulate it, and then they'll come back in. They'll put the swim spa back in. That's how much they love this thing is. They want to keep it. They want to have it. It's a great thing, but we're doing all that. So unfortunately, we see that all the time with how windows are installed, how siding is installed. If it's not flashed and protected and it doesn't have either the zip system installed to the best of the possibilities or a drainage plane, house wrap, ways to get water to go where you need it to go. The when siding a house, and when I look at houses, and when we go around, and when Mosby Building Arts is residing houses, sometimes we're even fixing and correcting issues that you may not even know that you have. And there's so many places of where water can get inside and behind steel and vinyl siding when caulking cracks and you've got wood or the hardy board or anything. I mean, there is stringent ways to install like hardy board to keep water out and to keep water going where you want it. And the drainage plane behind it, they make these different house wraps to work with these systems in order to keep water out of the walls and keep that floor and the band boards and the floor joists from rotting, from water getting in. It's so important. Imagine like a company shows up to side your house and they strip everything off the house. They take all the siding, soffit fascia, everything's down. You can see the wood sheeting, everything of the house, and they install a drainage plane with flashing metal flashings and tape flashings and in ways to, you know, almost like a roof. You kind of lap things the right way at all the transitions to get water back out. So imagine they put all that on your house and then they said, oh, well, you know what? Your siding's not going to be here for 12 months, but that's okay because your home will not leak the entire 12 months that we do not have siding on this home. That is a different product than just stripping off and putting back a window or siding or even putting back a window in a different manner. There's so much into that and how that's done in a lot. I see a lot of clients finding out different ways during power washing or cleaning and getting water in, and then all of a sudden realizing that the whole house is that way. So they thought they had a problem in one spot, but really the whole house is that way. So maybe you go ahead and fix just the one spot, and you just gotta be careful when you clean and power. You just can't run a hose over everything, or else you'll be letting a bunch of water behind that siding. So there's a lot of ways for it to get in there, and there's definitely better ways that you can install all of these items. So we're going to jump into a quick break here, but when we get back, I'm going to tell you a little story about a window install and the shutters around it in a real particular way that they used to do some of these homes, and how that can be a problem nowadays as things age and start to rot and get changed. And as they start to install new, they're not installing it in the necessarily the same protective manner that they did it back then, and you could actually make things worse. So I'll get into that. But again, if you have anything for me, anything going on, any questions, 314-436-7900. I'm right here for you. Love to hear from you. And we'll have more home improvement right after these messages.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baby hair. All right, what's going on at your home? What do you need help with? Are you working on anything? I'm sure it is such a beautiful day. You're probably outside cleaning, getting ready for maybe barbecuing tomorrow for Mother's Day, getting the deck ready to hang out on. So if you run into anything, you need any help, any advice, you got a question for me, I'm here ready to help out. 314-436-7900 finds me, and we will see what we can do to help you out. But now, as promised, all right, I've seen this window and shutter situation quite often in the St. Louis area here. And it's something that they did in kind of the 60s, early 70s, where it's a brick home, and not all the home's brick, but there's enough brick, and there's brick around the front. And basically what they did was, instead of bricking up right up against the windows, and then when you install shutters, which this is kind of a traditional way, is your windows in your wall, you brick around the window, and then you put the shutters onto the brick itself. Well, they would widen the brick opening and recess the shutters up against the wall, kind of flush with the window, so that whole area was set back. And really what happens on the outside of your house in these situations is the water, rainwater, wind-driven rains gets in behind your siding, behind your brick, behind your roofing, all these areas. And this all happens where all the transitions are. So where your brick turns into siding, where your roof transitions and jets into a wall and they meet together, there's all these areas like that. So the water kind of comes around the window, and then when it gets down to the bottom around the J channel, it's kind of behind everything. So imagine this shutter on the wall, and it's inside that brick. So once that shutter starts to rot away, because back then these shutters are wood, so the wood goes bad, the wood starts to rot, and water starts to get in because of these rotted shutters. And then what happens is they take a vinyl shutter and they'll mount it on top of the wood shutter. And so when we go to replace the window, all that's got to come out. And now I have this sided wall to brick transition that I need to take care of, not just where the window is, but also where the shutters are. So if water gets around my vinyl shutter, and I got to tell you, you can only imagine how easy it is for water, wind-driven rains, to get in around just a vinyl shutter. So I have to protect the wall and everything behind the shutters. And then a lot of times we'll pad it out too, to kind of get the shutter back in the same location with the new shutter. So we'll kind of build it out a little bit on top of all that to get the thickness that we need for when the new window goes in. But now that's one system, and it's kind of protected as a system. So it makes a lot of sense to replace that window and those shutters at the same time with the same people to protect that entire area. And that's something that I've seen quite a bit, and I just warn everybody to kind of watch out for that. If you have that situation on your home and you're thinking about either new shutters or new windows or both, think of them together and talk to me about it. Feel free to give me a call, and maybe we can talk more about how that needs to go and what needs to happen. Again, 314-436-7900. And we've got Jim on the line. So let's jump to Jim and see what's happening.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes. Thanks for calling.
I have an attic door in my garage. I like that better than being in the house. But when you go over my ceiling inside the attic, it's all plywood, which is nice, but going into the attic, it's open. I'm afraid, can that, between the rest of the house and the garage upper part, can that be blocked off with like a door to get into the remaining part of the house to stop the cold air from going into the insulated part?
Okay, so let me get you right. So once you go up into the attic over the garage, it's the same attic space as the main house, and you
right.
can walk right over to the insulated portion.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird because I had cellulose insulation. I don't know how he got into the rest of. I mean, unless you're a five-year-old with a hose going into the rest of the house. I don't know how he got back there. I'd like to know if Scott Mosley can fix that. I don't know what's the support beams on that, and put a drywall and a door there to block that cold air from going in from the garage to that insulated part.
Yeah, so the thing is, that can be done, and it's often done in houses where the garage ceiling is actually open raftered, and there is no fire rated drywall on the actual ceiling of the garage. So then a lot of times when that happens, they'll have that drywalled off and a little door put in to block that off. But basically that separation is put in there more for fire rating and to not have a fire spread from the garage to the house. So for fire, you're protected, because if your ceiling in the garage is drywalled, if a fire starts in the garage, it'll take it, you know, an hour or more to burn through that garage ceiling. So that's okay. And really, having that garage attic open and having the main area of the house open and having those adjoined isn't really an issue on an energy standpoint. If you have the good cellulose insulation over the portion of your house, that attic is breathing and it's bringing in air from down low and it's letting out air from up top. And generally, the attic of the house is going to be the same or a relevant temperature to what it's like outside.
Okay.
So there's no real reason to block that off for an energy efficiency standpoint, because both of those attics are going to breathe and they're going to be the same temperature whether you have that blocked off with a door or not.
How about if easy access to the insulated part, because I don't know how he gets back there when I had it done, the spray to, unless that hose that projects the insulation goes pretty far.
I don't know. That hose goes really far. Yeah, because okay. They'll take one hose in and do an entire attic. So that hose can be, you know, it's like 100 feet long from the front yard. It'll go up two stories and do an entire attic. So that's how he did it. He was able to just drag that hose all the way to the back side of the house. Because if he's on your driveway and he just goes through the garage, he's got a lot of hose to get to the rest. So he just kind of crawled through. Probably a skinny guy. Most guys doing that insulation or jungle gym.
Yeah.
Skinny, get around kind of guys. I do a lot less of that these days.
Me too. I'll prevent that from happening. But I like to have one of those drop steps from the garage to the attic. You guys do that?
Oh yeah, you want a set of stairs, like a pull down stair?
Right.
Oh yeah. Yep. We could absolutely do that. Yep.
Okay. Okay, I appreciate your help and the information. Thank you so much.
All right, no problem. You're welcome, Jim. I appreciate the call. Have a good day. Hopefully you guys have a good weekend and a good Mother's Day. And we can definitely do pretty much anything residential like that. So we'll have the guys and the crews that can put in a set of pull-down attic stairs like that. And there's some options out there for them now. There's some really, really good sets out there that work really well nowadays for those. So a little more comfortable than the wooden normal ones, kind of the least expensive, but there's some options for that. So, but hey, we're going to take our middle hour break here. We got a couple segments left for everybody. Don't fear. We'll be right here for you. 314-436-7900. Keep that dial right here and we'll have more home improvement right after this. Welcome back. Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for you today. 314-436-7900 finds me. And imagine just for a moment in the month of May, how about for Mother's Day, you get a kitchen and you get some complimentary backsplash tile to go with that kitchen, or replace the windows in your home and get a complimentary garage door with your project. You can go to callmosby.com for details or to schedule your appointment and check us out and see what the details are in that and get your appointment scheduled today. And you might even get me to come out and check out your project for you. So that happens. I'm doing that every day, all week, all the weeks. So we'd love to help you out, or you can give us a call, 314-909-1800. So let's jump on to the phones and let's get to Diane here and see what Diane has going on for us. Diane, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, what's happening? Thanks for calling.
Thanks for answering my call. I was calling. My granddaughter recently bought an older home, and it has the French drain in the basement, and it works really well. But it's open, you know, it's probably about an inch. And in the front corner of the house, like it'll get, if it rains a whole bunch, it'll get like mud in that one corner. So I don't know if they need to dig it up and see what's going on, or if they can cover it, if that would keep it. But then okay. The mud might clog up the drain. Or
Yeah. So it sounds like you're talking about a space between the floor and the wall where
and they put a drain in there that runs yep. to a sump pump.
Okay.
Is that a French drain? I'm not sure.
It's similar. Yeah. It's basically a sump pump system. It's called drainage tile. Is what the actual pipes are called. So here's what I would advise, and because when you get dirt coming in that area, usually it means that the house foundation is actually settling.
Okay.
Because underneath the foundation, there's rock. Underneath the basement floor, there's rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pour the footing that's about a foot thick, and then they stand up a concrete wall on top of it.
Yeah.
And so if that footing settles and it creates any space between the foundation wall and the footing, the dirt will come in from outside between the wall and the footing. So I suspect they may have some settling issues, and they may need to have the house piered to hold it up. So it may be a bigger issue than just the dirt, but you can call, you know, any foundation peering company to come out and look at that, and they'll be able to look at the foundation and the cracks on the walls and let you know what's happening and why. So I'd be a little more concerned about that than actually the dirt itself.
It's not a whole bunch of dirt.
Yeah.
And I went outside, and there's a bush there on the corner and a gutter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even the gutter, it has like a drain thing that drains it away from the house. And
sure.
But I didn't know if maybe something that could be like that. That wouldn't be so more serious.
because this is pretty far down underground where this water's, you know, and dirt and everything's coming in. So it'd definitely be hard to stop from the outside. And just so you know, who I personally would recommend that you call is a company called Stratum Structural.
Okay, Stratum.
And they do all that foundation peering, all the crack filling, and they do sump pump systems and all that. So they can help see it and determine why it's happening. And either you need peering, or maybe they have a remedy to keep that dirt out. So,
okay.
All right.
I appreciate your answer.
Yeah,
thank
no
you
problem.
Very much.
Thank you for calling. Let's jump over to Jim here and see what's going on with Jim. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for taking my call. We've got a house that was built in 1969. It has 3-inch cast iron sewer pipe in the unfinished basement, at the ceiling of the unfinished basement.
Okay.
And we had a leaky wax ring on a toilet that was spilling when we flushed, that would spill into the basement. I pulled the toilet off to replace the wax ring, and it turns out that the bronze flange that the toilet bolts down to has torn loose from the riser pipe. It looks like it may have been a copper pipe going into, transitioning into the cast iron, and it might have been, the bronze ring may have been soldered on originally. And so that's where the leak was. I'm wondering about replacing that bronze ring and the copper pipe with PVC, and how that, how to make that connection to the cast iron below the bathroom floor. In the basement.
Yeah. So, it's, there's two ways to make that connection. And that would be the repair is you take that pipe out and you change kind of that elbow and the pipe coming up, and you change that flange where it can mount to the floor, change all that to PVC. So when you get back to the stack, there's two ways that you can connect that pipe. And one is you either cut the cast iron pipe and you just use it's called a Fernco, like a rubber boot that tightens up and connects them on and keeps that from leaking. And that's the most common way. That boot should have like a metal strap around it. And the metal kind of helps keep everything solid and tight, on that boot. Or if it's right where the 3-inch cast iron goes into, like, say, the what we call kind of the knuckle or the bigger portion of the cast iron, you can break that cast iron out of there, clean out that fitting where that's kind of like the elbow that goes down. You clean out that cast iron fitting, and they make a rubber piece that goes around the PVC pipe. So the PVC pipe will go into that knuckle, and this rubber piece jams in there and tightens around inside, kind of like a giant O-ring. That is difficult to get in. I've done that before. It was not fun. The other boot's easier but sometimes you just can't get a clean cut on that cast iron. So a lot of times they don't even really know which way they're going to do it until they're in the middle of it.
What is the packing material or sealant that is used at the joints of the cast iron? Because a few of them are slowly seeping, you know, just a little tarry looking black liquid will get once a year or something.
Yep. So those are typically, it's kind of like, it's called gyokum, and it's like a rope. And then they put like a putty type material over that once that's in there. So that can be taken apart and redone. But I would say that if you're having that happen and you're having the toilet flange breaking and everything happen, then you may really be pretty close to the point where it makes more sense to just replace the entire stack with PVC. 'Cause as those things wear, the thing to know about the cast iron is cast iron wears away slowly, and it takes a very long time. That's why these pipes are 60, 80, 100 years old, but they wear away from the inside. So if you're starting to see all that, you probably got some really thin pipe and you've got a lot wearing away, and you might have some fine cracks, and you could do like this repair and the other repair and stop the other places. And then a year later, you end up with something else, and you got a plumber in there saying, yeah, we just need to replace this whole stack. And they may, if you got a professional plumber, they may end up recommending that once they try and do just the toilet piece, because they may see how thin the pipe is and it's not really, and they just kind of start to recommend a little bit more at that point, because it costs less to do it all at once than to do three different repairs three separate times.
Totally understand. Okay, yeah, that answers my question.
Just consider that. All right, Jim?
All right. Good luck to you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good luck to you with your repair there, Jim. I hope it works out for you. We're going to jump into a quick break. We got Cheryl and Steve on the line, and we'll jump into your calls as soon as we return right after this. We'll be right back. Rich Orris here for B&W Concrete Services. Guys, let me tell you, I've been dealing with Larry and Terry at B&W for years and years now, and the reason we do this, the reason they're our go-to people, is they give great advice. They want to do the right thing, the best thing, just like Mosby does. I bring them to my projects, and they even help me figure out, like, here's a really good way to get lasting value out of this project if we build it like this or that. So two heads are better than one, and three minds are better than two, and we come to some great conclusions. So let them do that same thing for your concrete. Anything that you need, they will do well. They will take care of it the right way. They do everything flat work, new, standard, custom, decorative. They do new construction, tear out replacement. They do foundations. They do it all. Decorative walls, retaining walls, they can handle it for you. Look them up at bwconcrete.com or just give them a call, 636-458-3626. Oh, man, I'm just like on a beach. That's awesome. Hey, let's get straight to Steven and see if we can help Steven out here on the phone and see what's happening. Hey, Steven, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for calling. What do you got going on?
Yeah, I have hardy board on my house.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
And that was installed, I think, 2007. I was wondering if they've improved the lapping on that instead of butting joints. I always was a little concerned about that. I realized the house has got the wrap underneath, but I would think that they really should have maybe a lap somehow that would, you know.
Yeah.
Take the expansion and contraction when you go through seasons?
Yeah, so what they do now with hardy board is they're, when you get a seam out in the field, there's like a piece of flashing, like a 3-inch or 4-inch wide, like thin metal, or like a piece of flashing kind of tape or something that basically you put down behind it, and so when your two pieces of hardy meet there, any water that blows in or gets inside of that seam, it hits that flashing and it comes back out on top of the piece underneath it.
Yeah.
So it's lengthening the life of the drainage plane because less water is getting to the drainage plane. So, yeah, there's a piece of flashing that should be installed behind all of those seams out in the field.
Okay. Now, how would you do the corner boards in that situation?
So the corner boards, they typically caulk and rely on the house wrap drainage plane behind it to take care of any water that might get in, you know, through the caulk at the corner boards. And that, then this exact question is one of the reasons why we have a system that we like to use here at Mosby for siding, that it's a different type of product, but there's a company that takes this siding, and the siding is LP Smart Side, so it's very similar to Hardy, but it in look and appearance, it's a completely different material. But they basically make outside corners and inside corners that are similar to like a vinyl siding, where there's an actual piece behind it that nails to the wall, and then you tuck your siding into the corner, kind of like a little J, so you don't have to caulk the corner, and you're not completely reliant on the drainage plane behind that corner. And it's a way, it's just a really good look, and it's a really good way to manage the actual water coming in around windows and inside corners and outside corners. So what we do here at Mosby is we like to use the Diamond Coat LP Smart Side that has this system that takes care of most of that for us on when we install it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that. I know that originally when the Hardy board came out, they always left the 1/8 inch between butt joints.
Yep, and they And they still do.
Can you fill that with caulk? The caulk that they use is pretty durable. It's still holding together.
Yes, you can fill that with caulk. The only downside that you possibly could have is if you did get any expansion, it can kind of smush that caulk and kind of push it out. But they caulk those seams all the time, and it's usually not an issue for the most part. But unfortunately, the issue that we have in our industry is even like the system that I'm talking about with the LP Smart Side, that can be installed incorrectly if you don't know what you're doing. Hardy is the same way. I have a house right now I'm looking at that's 3 years old, and the Hardy is installed horribly, and the whole house needs to be resided. And Hardy even looked at it and said, yep. And a Hardy specialist looked at it and said, man, that's really bad. And none of the flashings behind the seams, and there's stuff wrong everywhere. And so all of these systems, including the drainage planes, can be installed incorrectly and not work. And it's a real shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I know a lot of that flashing they installed on our house, it looked like what they use for...
For the fascia, like the metal.
Yeah, that thickness.
Yep.
I also remember when they were first installing that, on these TV shows, they would nail it at the bottom edge with, I forget what size nail they used for that, but, it had a head on it. You couldn't, countersink it.
Yes.
Do they still install it that way nowadays? Or
no, usually nowadays, you put the nail up at the top, and then your next piece of siding covers the nail up you don't see it. So that's been reversed. And so, it's more of like a hidden fastener system. Looks a lot better these days. But, hey, Stephen, we are totally out of time. I hope that helps. I appreciate the call. Great question. We are coming right up here against the end of the show. So good luck with that and maybe caulk those seams and everything. And then, hey, for everybody else, happy Mother's Day. Have a good weekend. Shout out to all the moms out there. Be good. Be good to your homes. Be good to each other. And I'll talk to you next week.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.